The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad you tuned in today, and this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're another day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this planet and rule from Mount Zion in the city of Jerusalem over the whole world. And he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for the first time, the world will have peace and every problem will instantly be solved. And so we're looking forward to that time. But we uphold the Bible here. And I was recently watching a program on television I thought was very interesting. And there had been a former Muslim that had been raised in the Muslim religion, and he taught at the leading university for Muslims in Egypt. And he had memorized, according to him, much of the Quran, and he was a teacher. He was an imam, imam, or whatever they call it. And he was a leader in the Muslim religion. But one day, as he was studying and meditating on the Quran, he just had this feeling that it was not the Word of God. And it was a huge impression in his mind after studying it and memorizing it. And so he was beaten up, and then his sister said, well, you better get out of the country. And so he drove from Egypt all the way to South Africa and drove all the way across Africa in his car. And later on, he became a Christian. Now, I just say in my personal experience, all my life, I have studied the Bible and memorized much of it from the time I've been a child. And I remember when I was in the seventh grade, I had a science professor, and he said, when you get older, you won't think like this. And so it put a curiosity into my mind. And so I have been curious, and I've read many books, studied many religions, and particularly on the subject of textual history, the history of the Bible. And I tell you, it made a believer out of me, and that's why we have this program, Upholding the Bible in the King James. And as the years go by, my faith in it has become stronger and stronger all of the time. Now, I want to give some biblical reasons once again why we believe that the Bible is God's Word. Whenever it speaks truth. And when someone disagrees with it, why, that shows that they are wrong. And so we have a foundation. We have a rock. You know what Jesus said about the Bible? He said that not one jot or tittle will pass from the law until it is all fulfilled. In other words, everything in the Scripture is true, including would be a jot or a tittle, be like crossing a T or the dotting of an I. Everything is true. It comes from God's Word. And, of course, in our authorized King James Bible, based on the Hebrew Masoretic text, is the true text that God has preserved down through the ages. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found copies of this text, and they compared 120,000 words with what they have today in the Isaiah find, and there wasn't even one word changed. And so God has preserved his word. In the New Testament, over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts back up the authorized King James Bible, and the rest of them are counterfeits. They take out the names of Jesus in 100 places. And by the way, for years we've been giving out a paper that shows where Jesus' names are taken out of the modern counterfeit Bibles. And it gives the exact reference. We will send this out to you free of charge. We even pay for the mailing of the thing. And so if you'd like to get it, you can call in, and our engineer will take your name down and we'll send it to you. The number is 216-901-0933, 216-901-0933. And I'll repeat that again. The long distance toll-free is 888-877-9673, 888-677-9673. Now, let's get back to this. And in Genesis chapter 12, it makes this statement in verse 1. Now, the Lord God, or the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and in that time it was a modern city for them, and they had indoor plumbing in that city, and Abraham probably lived in a nice house. Actually, Josephus says that he was a king in that town. And I will make thee of a great nation. I will make thee a great nation. Now, God promises Abraham a number of things. And over 3,500 years later, we find that these things have already happened, just as the Bible says. And the Bible can be verified in so many ways. When it talks, it is telling the truth. It says, I will make of thee a great nation. And so God made of Abraham a great nation, and that is the Jewish people made up of the 12 tribes of Israel. And while other nations have disappeared, that nation is a great nation. There's about 6 million Jewish people in the land of Israel today, and even in the United States of America, they have great power and great prestige. For instance, Rahm Emanuel, who was the chief of staff, and anybody wanted to see the president had to go through him. He has joint Israeli citizenship. I understand now he's the mayor of Chicago. And then you have the chief advisor. His name is Axelrod. He is Jewish also. And the owners of the Mr. Newhouse, owner of the Plain Dealer that owns half the magazines on the rack, and the owner of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and so on. Jewish people that live in this country. And so when God said that he would make of Abraham a great nation, he meant it, and he has completed it, he has finished it, and it is a great nation. And it says, and I will bless thee. So God blessed Abraham with children. And at that time he didn't have children, and God said that he would have a supernatural child. And so when Sarah's womb was dead, why, Isaac was born. And it was a picture of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A number of the leaders of Israel and the very founding of that nation was based on a supernatural birth that Sarah had when she was too old to have a child. And it was getting the idea that Jesus was going to come supernaturally. He was going to be called the Son of God. His father was God. And Jesus always stated that. But he says, I will bless thee. And so God has blessed Abraham with millions of children. And then thirdly, he said that he would make Abraham's name great. And so Abraham's name is great among the Jewish people today. He is the father. He is the first Jew. He is the father of Israel and the Jewish people. Abraham's name is great among the millions and millions of Muslims. Abraham's great is not among the among the Protestants. Abraham's name is great among the Baptists. And so a promise that God made to Abraham is fulfilled. And so the Bible is true once again. We have prophecy after prophecy given over 3,500 years ago. And thou shalt be a blessing. And so Abraham was a blessing. When God called Abraham, he didn't tell him where he was going to go, but he said that he would give him a land, he would give him a nation. And I just think about when Abraham went to tell his wife, and he said to her, we're going to leave this town, and God is going to take us to a place. And she would say, well, where are we going? He would say, I don't know. But yet she followed him, and so they went. And God was going to give them a land. And so Abraham was a blessing. He was a blessing as an example. He left his house and he lived in a tent. And it said that he was a pilgrim and a stranger. And we, in as Christians, we're pilgrims and strangers in this earth. We're not part of the world system if we are Bible-believing Christians. And he said, I will bless them that bless thee. So in the United States, we have blessed the Jewish people, and their first synagogue was in Newport, Rhode Island. And since that time, they have had freedom in the United States of America, and they have been blessed in this nation. And so God has blessed the nation, the United States, and curse him that curseth thee. And so when Hitler cursed the Jews, when he decided to destroy them, he and Germany were destroyed at that time. And England at the same time stopped the Jews from going back to the land. And so they lost their empire and they were bombed out. And London was bombed and they were destroyed as a great empire. And so we could go down through history and we would see this over and over again. If they bless Israel, they are blessed. If they curse them, they are cursed. So Ahmadinejad, he says he's going to destroy Israel. And I'll tell you, that's one of the most foolish statements that a man has ever made. And he can have his missiles and he can have his bombs, but there is a God in heaven. And that God has power today, just like he always had. There is an army that came up against Jerusalem of 185,000 men. They came out of Iraq. They were called Assyrians. And they had conquered the whole Middle East. And this is mentioned three times in the Old Testament of the Bible. And so finally, they surrounded the city of Jerusalem after conquering every other city. And Sennacherib said, well, we've conquered the other gods and we're going to conquer Jehovah. And that was the wrong thing to say. And Hezekiah the king, he went to the temple. He says, God, you see what he said? Well, of course, God sees everything. And so shortly after that, Isaiah the prophet comes and said, I have a message from God to Mr. Sennacherib. And this is the message. Tomorrow morning, the young virgin girls in Jerusalem will be laughing at Sennacherib. And according to three accounts in the Old Testament, when they went out to the camp the next morning, it was very quiet, and God had destroyed, the angel of the Lord had destroyed 185,000 men, and there was 185,000 dead corpses outside the city. And so God blesses people that bless Israel and curses them that curse Israel. And so we see once again, the Bible is true. Haman was going to destroy Israel, but Haman was hanged on the gallows that he had made for the Jews. And I heard one story, and it's interesting. They said that Hitler was giving a speech one time, and he was up there ranting and raving against Israel and against the Jews. And there was a little Jewish man there, and he was laughing, and they arrested him, took him in front of Hitler, and Hitler said, well, what are you laughing at me? And the little man said, no, I'm not laughing at you. He said, what are you laughing at? He said, well, we had a feast, and there was a man named Pharaoh who's going to destroy us, and we have a feast. It's called Passover. And there was a man named Haman. He was going to destroy us, and we have a feast called Purim, and we still celebrate that feast. And he said, I was just wondering, we make cakes at these feasts. And he says, I was wondering what kind of cake we were making for you. Well, I don't know if that story is true, but it illustrates the point. Now, we're going to take just a short break, and then we'll come back and finish this section of Scripture.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
Now let's continue on, and we're talking about promises God gave to Abraham over 3,500 years ago that God has already fulfilled in our time. We are talking about Israel being a great nation, Abraham's name being great, God blessing those that bless Abraham's children and cursing them that curse Abraham's children. Now we'll continue on. Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now the land of Canaan is the land where the Jews live today, and it is on the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea, just south of Lebanon. And so they came to that land. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations. And I want to skip over to verse 6 then of chapter 12. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. Now Shechem is, it's stated in the New Testament, Shechem is the city of Nablus. And it is in Palestine today, and it was also where Jesus talked to the lady at the well and the Samaritan woman at the well. And it was also where Joseph had his was buried when they took his bones out of Egypt. And recently they found a very fancy Egyptian sword in that town, that's Shechem. So he came to that place. And then he came to the place of Moreh. Now, Moreh is where Mount Moriah was, and it was bought by King David. And eventually the temple was put there on Mount Moriah, and you can go over there and see the Temple Mount. That would be Mount Moriah, right at the one edge of the city of Jerusalem. It was also the place where the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, and it was called the place of a skull, and you could still see the skull at the side of the hill. And on top of the hill, there's a Muslim cemetery. I think they have it gated up right now at the time. And at the bottom of the hill, there is a bus station, or there was a bus station when I was there. And it was outside the Damascus Gate. Right around the corner from that was the place where the tomb of Jesus Christ was, where they had put his body in the tomb. And, of course, he came out of that tomb. Now it says, at that time the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord here who appeared unto him. Now the Lord, it says, appeared unto him. When it says appeared, that means Abraham saw God. He saw the eternal spirit who shows up many times in the Old Testament in a body that looks like a human body. And the Bible says that after the image of God, God created mankind. Now, we talked about this, and it should be emphasized. We take the Bible literally because Jesus did. See, there's two kinds of ministers. The kind of minister, there are ministers that profess to be Christians, but they don't believe that the God of this universe actually appeared to man in a human body. And so they make up their own religion, and they use the stories of the Bible. They'll say they're beautiful stories, but in reality, they didn't happen. But they don't talk about the fact that they didn't happen. They don't believe that this is history. And there's a great army of these unbelievers that are involved in religion and getting paid for it. Jesus taught that the Old Testament was history. And so it is history that the God of heaven, the God that created us, appeared to people. He appeared in human form and talked to them. And finally, Jesus Christ came in a human body, and he talked to mankind. He lived here for 33 years in a human body. So he appears to Abraham here, and he says, unto thy seed will I give this land. And so God promised this land of Canaan to the Jewish people. And this is an important thing. You know, when Jesus, before he was born and he came to Mary, he said that Jesus Christ was going to come and rule over the house of Jacob forever. Now, there's people that teach that Israel simply means the church, and Jews are permanently cursed, and God is through with the Jewish people. And so they take all the blessings that God promised to Abraham and the Jewish people, and they apply them to the Christian church, but they conveniently eliminate all the curses for disobedience and rebellion. And they call the church what you see in most history books, the Roman church and then the Protestant church. Well, that is false. And Jesus said two times in the Gospels that the 12 apostles would rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the book of Romans, it talks about, has God forsaken Israel? And Paul says, no. And he gives three chapters to this. And in the book of Revelation, it says 12,000 of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 of the tribe of Levi, and so on. A person that does not believe that God has a future for Israel is in rebellion against God himself. Because the Bible is absolutely clear that God has a program for the Jewish people in Israel. And by the way, biblical Christians, and I say Baptist and many other groups of Christians have never persecuted Jewish people. People say today, well, the church has to apologize for persecuting the Jews. That is absolutely false. It's the false church may have had to apologize, but biblical Christianity has never persecuted anybody because it doesn't do any good. It's not in the program of God. It's not in the New Testament. And the Bible says that salvation is a free gift given when a person repents in their heart. People can be baptized till all the frogs and fish in the pool know their name. It doesn't do a bit of good unless they're born again and their heart is changed. And they have repented of their sins, turned from their sin, and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And Jesus is Lord through the Bible. He says, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? And Jesus never taught persecuting anybody. He taught loving your enemies and doing good to them and praying for them. And so God, the world right now, the turmoil over it is over the land of Israel. And they're talking about setting up a Palestinian state and voting on it. And Joel chapter 3 says God's going to judge the nations for parting my land. That land belongs to God, and he has given it to the Jewish people. And so they are back on the land, just like the Bible said. And Jesus is going to meet them there on that land. He is coming back, and the prophecies are being fulfilled. That's why we can trust in the Word of God. And you know, the main way that you get trust is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're hearing these programs honoring God's Word, but you need to read it also. And you ought to be reading the Bible every single day and getting God's Word in your heart, knowing the Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The living words of God transform your life. And we have them today in the Authorized King James Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Our number is 901-0933. We'll send you a paper. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.